Welcome back to Movement, a running podcast with our very own in-house running expert, Dr. Rajat Chauhan. And we're on to our 20th episode. Welcome, Dr. Chauhan.
Thank you, ma'am, and welcome back all the listeners.
So we're on to our first question, which is from Aman Yadav, a lawyer and a runner from the Delhi Runners Group. He's asking how to avoid chronic respiratory infection due to hard workouts.
I think this is a very important question because people don't relate, infection or illness actually to a hard workout. Okay, so high intensity workouts, what they tend to do is they temporarily reduce the immunity to fight disease.
Right.
For that little bit, it's lower actually. So you can get infections. You're prone to getting fever and, flu and all that during that short span. So it is very important that you increase the intensity over time rather than suddenly doing it. If you do it suddenly, the immunity will be hit harder, actually. So that's the point. Also, keep your diet good and recover well by getting good 7 to 8 hours sleep and not having high-intensity workouts, back-to-back days. So these are very simple tips how to take care of it.
Sure.
Then pollution, obviously, does add up to this. So, please take care that you're not in this whole pollution area and all that. So if it's in green areas, run around there. That is the idea there.
Okay. So the next question is from Gurashish Singh, a liberal arts student from Ashoka University. He's saying that he has a hamstring pain and he's unable to jog, leave alone run. He loves to do fast bowling but is obviously unable to do so. So what does he do?
Yeah, so as much as I love to answer the queries here, but, sometimes they become very specific.
Right.
So here the point really is, answering Gurashi's point here, the one big mistake you can make right now is to overstretch the hamstring. And people, the way they do it is incorrect. Mm. So if there isn't a tear, the tear will happen now courtesy stretching. So that's the normal thing that people end up doing. So please do not stretch the hamstring. If I can say one thing not to do rather than what to do. And I recommend you to pick up on strength training of the quadriceps. So that is the front of the thighs. Work on that. And then gluteus maximus, which is the butt muscle. All right. So do those. And again, we'll talk about this exercise in a bit anyways. And then do heel drops. We've spoken about that a lot in this podcast. And then apply ice over the painful area for 5 minutes with some compression. So wrap it around with like a handkerchief or a towel or something. So just not kept on the painful area but compressed. Okay, and put it on for 5 minutes, repeat it a few times, so 3-4 times a day or so. And if not better with the simple advice in a week, please seek personal advice, from a expert sports medicine doctor or a medicine doctor.
Okay. The next question is from Rekha Guruswamy, who is asking, what is your advice for asthmatics? Running actually causes breathlessness and is a strain for an asthma patient. What is the alternate form of physical exercise for asthmatics?
Yeah, so one very basic thing we need to understand is that primary problem in asthmatics is not breathlessness on its own.
Yeah.
It is because of the exertion bringing on reaction to allergens. So allergens is the big issue, right? So that is what causes the
breathlessness,
thinning of those airways and all that stuff. All right. So it's not a direct thing. It's courtesy allergens. That's what causes the whole attack of breathlessness that happens. Now, repeat asthmatic attacks limit proper breathing patterns and weakens the muscles involved in breathing. Okay, so basically start with strength training before you get on to your running and all that stuff.
Sure.
And what that does is your body becomes more fuel efficient, the muscles become well trained and do not need excessive oxygen. So they're becoming more fuel efficient effectively, all right?
Yeah.
So you're less dependent on too much air kind of a thing. So that's the whole idea. And next month or so, then pick up with walks and run combinations. Now, your body will be able to take it better when you pick it up in some time rather than right away. Like my own example, I think we've spoken about this earlier. My 15-year-old son, asthmatic, all right? He's run a half marathon, I think in July or so he did it.
Okay.
So he's run 20 plus kilometers thrice then, within like 10 days or so. And simply following this plan that, gradually build it up and he can do it now.
Mm.
So, no, asthmatics can definitely run.
Mm.
So, other than that, the question was, what other alternate exercises can they do? Definitely get on with strength training.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, coming to the myth buster of the week. So, it's often said that lady runners can't run for long.
Yeah. So, I'll not get into this whole social thing and all that. But when we look at it medically, when we look at it scientifically, that's just a wrong statement. The thing that, people keep complaining about, that whole fat muscle, ratio that is there in the human body, it is higher in females versus males.
Mm.
Now, for once, for this bit, it is a very big advantage, having a higher fat, body composition actually. Because when you're running longer, you dig into fat rather than glucose or the carbohydrate part kind of things, okay? And it lasts longer. So the point is, for longer distance races, if someone's running a 100-miler or more, or, you know, silly distances like that. It is the fat that matters, right? Okay. So ladies tend to do better. There are races where women have actually beaten guys. Mm. We, in our own run that we put together in La Ultra, in the second year, a lady from UK, 47-year-old asthmatic, had beaten a very, very good ultra runner, a male runner. So what is actually happening now in ultra races, they're beating guys. They're not catching up, they're beating them. So I think that's completely wrong when people say ladies can't run long.
Right. So they can actually run longer than men.
Actually, yes.
Okay, that's great.
Actually, to add to it, pain threshold. Sorry, this is my favorite one. So that's why. Pain threshold in women is actually, by the way, higher. That's why they have kids and men never get pregnant. So the point really is there's a male pain and there's a female pain. And male pain is when men crib about nothing. And when there's real pain, that's a female pain.
Right.
So again, another reason that, you know, they can actually take pain for far longer.
True. Moving on, what is the exercise for this week?
Okay, so again, what we're trying to do is rather than adding more and more exercises, because otherwise we can keep doing more and more and people will not be doing anything right.
Right.
So what we'll do is we'll just, you know, revise the older ones. And here what we're talking about is gluteus maximus exercise. So that being gluteus maximus being the butt muscle.
Right.
So idea is to lie on your tummy. Mm. And bend one knee such that your lower leg is vertical to the ground. So it's straight up, right? And you raise your thigh up off the ground by only like an inch or so.
Mm.
Okay, so you're raising your knee up only by an inch or so. You hold it for a second or two and down again.
Oh.
And you should be aware of what is it trying to work, which is in this case the butt muscle or the gluteus maximus. So you should feel that little exertion around there and you put it down again. So it's a slow movement without jerks.
Mm.
You repeat it 10 to 15 times. Do it 4 to 5 sets throughout the day if you can. It takes less than a minute to do the whole lot. And, you know, it's going to be a very important exercise for a muscle, which is very important for running. So please just get this right.
Okay. Moving on, what is the running schedule for this week?
Okay, yeah, so carrying on with our, you know, three focus runs throughout the week. So on the weekend, it'll be a as slow as you like run. Start with a warm-up or 2 to 3 minutes. So brisk walk, 2 to 3 minutes, followed by 8 minutes of jog, followed by a 1 minute brisk walk.
Right.
And then you repeat this 1 minute jog, repeated by 1 minute walk, and repeat it 7 to 9 times. You could have by then covered 60 to 80 minutes and that's all. So
correct.
Maximum I want is 80 minutes and no more. But again, please, please remember, be very soft on your feet. Keep your breathing easy. So easy in, easy out. Again, as the question was about asthmatics, this will take care of it. You know, keep it easy. Don't exert.
Right.
Then on a weekday, like a Tuesday, maybe people can do tempo run. Now this week, what I'm suggesting is 12 minutes of nonstop run, doing it 2 to 3 times. So the details of which are, start with 2 to 3 minutes warm up with a brisk walk and then run for 12 minutes at a pace where you can run for the same pace for 12 minutes. It should be a constant pace throughout.
Right.
Rest for a minute or two. Rest could mean a slow jog, could mean slow walk, up to you, whatever. But the whole idea is recover completely and get on it again and do 2 to 3 repeats. Keep your breathing easy, as I say, and remember to be gentle on your feet. And then interval training, which is on probably on a Thursday or a Friday. 6 minutes, 6 to 7 repeats. So here what I'm saying is start with a 2 to 3 minute brisk walk, then jog for a minute, followed by a run for 6 minutes at a pace where you can only respond in a word or two. Rest for a minute or two to catch your breath, have a sip of water or so, and then go back at it again, doing that 6 minute run, okay? As fast as it was the previous one. Now we need to keep same constant speed throughout these 6 to 7 repeats. And we do this run for 6 minutes. So that's the thing about interval training. Other than that, if people want to run another 2 to 3 days of slow, easy runs, so be it. Do 20, 30 easy minutes of brisk walk or easy run.
All right. So moving on to the story of the week. This time it's about 58-year-old Bhaskar Sharma from Bangalore. So tell us something about Bhaskar.
Yeah, so what I like about Bhaskar's story is it showcases that age is not a limit. That,
right.
You know, he's 58 and he's actually doing better and better all along, all this time. And, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm 30 and I'm old.
Yeah.
Right. Also, how he tackles injuries. So Bhaskar has been jogging for 3 to 4 kilometers a few times a week since college days to manage weight issues, but only did his first long run, that is a 15-kilometer run, in August 2001. And remember, he's 58, so, you know, till very late, he had not run that kind of a distance and set himself a goal to complete a full marathon before turning 45. So he was planning on doing a 42-kilometer run first time when he was 45 or before 45.
Wow.
In 2003, January, he managed to do that just 6 months before his target age. So he was only 44 and a half and he did the first 42 kilometers. But soon after that, he had knee pain as he was hooked to running, and he was doing 6 to 7 kilometers every day almost of the week,
okay,
without any stretching, without any strengthening. So when he approached the doctors, two of the orthopedicians, very popular ones in Bangalore, told him that at his age, which was 45 then,
yeah,
that he should not be running or doing very, very short distances, like 1 to 2 kilometers, if at all. However, when he saw the advert for the first edition of Bombay Marathon in January 2004, he could not resist his temptation and he got back to running after a break of almost a year, and he has not looked back since.
Right. Bhaskar also goes on to say that with inputs and guidance from experts like Dr. Chauhan, he has now done at least one marathon or longer run every year since 2004. So to celebrate his 50th birthday, he says he ran a marathon every month between August 2008 and July 2009. My timing for a marathon peaked at the age of 53 years, which was over 50 minutes faster than my first marathon time in 2003, he says, when he managed to qualify to run the Boston Marathon in the 50 to 55 age group.
Yeah, that's
quite remarkable.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, 53 years age,
yes,
then he is actually peaking.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, fascinating, you know, contradicts a lot of those.
Yeah, and especially with the knee pain and when he was advised not to run.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he went on.
Yeah.
Great.
And the point really is, the key is to be consistent and disciplined, including diet, stretching, strengthening, and listen to the body, set incremental and realistic goals. Very important point.
Right.
And for oneself, rather than competing against others, you know, people don't get this, but please always do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And enjoy the process of training and camaraderie of other runners as much as the outcome and the satisfaction of completing a run. So I think it's such a social thing that, you know, look at the whole lot rather than just getting to the finish line only.
Yeah, great. So what are the running events which are close to us this week?
Yeah, so Delhi Half Marathon is right around the corner. So, you know, we've been talking about it forever. It's on the 20th of November. Seriously, if you haven't been training so far, because I'm now starting to see a lot of patients coming with pains.
Oh.
So please, if you haven't yet been training for it, you know, maybe a good idea is to actually look for other races. Chennai Marathon is on 11th December, for example. Maybe they could actually plan that rather than do a Delhi half and get permanent injuries. Then there's Bombay Marathon on 15th of Jan. Registrations are shut for it a long time ago, but, you know, that's right around the corner. A lot of people travel from across India for full marathon.
Mm-hmm.
They, again, should have been doing decent amount of training already.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, just these are the marathons.
So just to remind race organizers to get in touch with us if they'd like their events mentioned on the podcast. Thank you, Dr. Chauhan, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, Ramand. Thank you, listeners.